All the churches are really beautiful. Yeah, they're really nice. They're well kept. They are sort of centers of community, and it's good. And then when I compare it to here, there's people don't care so much here. Okay, so in fact, it's Christianity has gone from Britain. Britain is no longer a Christian country. Britain is, and where there's no God, there is only the devil. Okay, and because we say nature abhors a vacuum, which means if there's a space, something must go into the space. There can't just be space. Something must fill everything. Everything must be full of something. And if there's no church power, for example, you only have state power, for example. As happened under communism, basically, which was that there was really no church, or no real church. There was an underground church, but there was no, which you could say was a real church, but that, there was no official church that that existed separate from the state. And very much in this country, it's like that now. People like the children don't know what religion is. They don't understand. They really don't understand. I was like there's a church on the hill near here. I think it's in one of the pictures that I sent to you. And every day I go to the church and I pray. And sometimes I pray inside the church. Usually I pray outside the church because the door is locked. Because I think it's stupid to lock a church door, to be honest. That's just my personal opinion. I think it's wrong. But so, and last week I was saying a prayer outside, and somebody came, this child who was, I imagine, a teenager, right, came up to me and said, "Are you okay?" Yeah. And
Yes, I am.
I said, "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Why?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for asking." And then they said, "What are you doing?" And this is honestly, this is exactly what happened, right? I mean, it's hard for me to even believe this happened. And "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm praying." And they said, "What's that?" Seriously, they didn't know. I didn't know what it was, right? And I said, "Well, when you believe that there's a God, and you wish to communicate with the God, what you do is you pray. You talk. It's basically like talking to God, right? And you can ask questions. You can ask for help. You can just say a general prayer. You can ask God to help other people. You can do all these. You can do these things through prayer. And some people like to do it because it helps them themselves, and other people like to do it because it helps other people." And this teenager was like, "Oh," and he sort of looked puzzled. And then I said, "Thank you for asking. I'm fine. This is a church, and people pray, right?" And he was, "Oh, okay," and he went away. Now, how can you live to be a teenager and not know what prayer is? How is that even possible, right?
It is possible.
But it's wrong.
Yes, wrong.
I mean, it's wrong because it shows that the child has no education at all. None.
I think that in the schools,
Religion.
religion, but not all children must have this.
Yeah, and I understand that. I'm pro-choice, so if people don't want to do something, that's okay with me. So if a child doesn't want to do it, or the child's parents don't want to do it, that's good, that's fine. Don't do it. The problem with religion as a subject is that it's not something that you can just, you know, put your finger in to test, right? Doesn't work like that. You know, it's like reading a book about how to swim. Yeah, you can't really read a book about how to swim. You have to learn to swim physically. And you can't really teach a subject about religion because it's so big and all-encompassing, and where do you start, and yet so individual for people as well, that you just... you can't be in the middle with it, and also there's a deeper problem, which is the non-belief is still belief, right? It's very it's very hard for people to understand that concept, you know, everything within a school environment is very Darwinistic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, these are the facts. This is it. And there's nothing more. You know, one question, one answer. One question, one answer. One question, one answer. And it's a very... It's very sad because there's so much more, and if you start to limit things, or if you start to make with religion, people make fun of the topic because they don't understand it, because that's what people do when they don't understand, they make jokes about it. But that's okay. And I mean, the jokes are fine. But you know, at the same time, if you're going to say geography is important, if you're going to say history is important, if you're going to say science is important, if you're going to say art's important, if you're going to say technology is important, if you're going to say music's important, how can you not say that belief is also important as well? And a lot of the, you know, it's crazy because a lot of the original schools that were started were religious schools. They were to teach religious teachings, which were also educational. And well, even here there are so-called schools that are orientated, but it's not true. You know, it's just a name. It's not really true. It's, you know, it's saying that the Catholic school is really Catholic is like saying that, I don't know. It's like saying that Coca-Cola is fruit juice or something. I mean, it's just, it's what's, it's not, it's just a label, right? You know, it's just a label on it, which doesn't really mean anything. And it's sad. And people are scared. You know, here's the real truth. First of all, people don't take it seriously. It's like schools don't really have religious education teachers. They just put anybody in the classroom to teach it. And you can do that because all you have to do is open a book and teach what's in the book, and that's that. Right? But they don't take it seriously, and it's just sad because then people grow up without much concept of what the different religions mean to people. And it means also school's very one-dimensional. It's very binary. It's very pass-fail, right?
You know, I like church because this history architecture, nice architecture, and
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the church is usually designed with these principles in mind. Yeah, it's designed to create an idea of peace, an idea of space. Well, they're always they were safe spaces, they were community spaces, they were centers of attention. They were centers of human achievement. It was, a great achievement in a society that was a Christian society that there could be a spiritual element to life and that could be at the central organization of society. That was a great human achievement. Not to mention all of the elements of teaching that could be involved there. And it was a network, it was a resource, it was coaching, tutoring, counseling, it was all of those things. That the priest had many roles within the community. He was there at the end of everybody's lives, and he was there at many ceremonies and many important parts during life, whether they were religious or not. If people got married, for example, then the minister was part of that. So, those were some of the reasons why the church was a central focus, and people knew in the past if they invested in the church that it would be a good investment and it would be an investment in the local community. Whether or not that is true now is a very difficult question. We're post culture, we're post modernism, we're post democracy, sorry to say, but well, we're post democracy. Now it's gone. Who you vote for doesn't matter anymore. If that wasn't clear before, it must be very clear to everybody now. So we are, we're post-capitalism, right, in terms of economics in many ways now. So we might also be, we're post certain elements of Christianity. I mean, it might come back. There might be a resurgence in it, and that might be good or bad. I don't know, but there's a lot of society orientates towards the future now, going forward, and it's like the past. It's like the past didn't matter, and we should study history more than just looking forward, because patterns repeat in life. What happened before will happen again, if people are not careful. Because we're all creatures of habit. Tomorrow is very similar to yesterday in many ways. The church was a strong institution that had endured a long period of time, and it was very often the church that was the first thing that was built in a town. People would come together, they come together with a belief in whatever form of religion they had, and they would build something to celebrate that belief. You know, that the building at the top of the hill was always a church, right? In towns, there was always a big castle on top of the big hill, but where the people lived, you know, there was always something there. And you know, Christianity represented a movement towards life and valuing life and the importance of human life. There are some things in life that are just not logical, right? They're just not logical. Christianity teaches people to be humble. Christianity teaches people to not want for more, to not want for bigger things, to not wish for things that other people have, to not have things that you don't need, right? And here's the example. The Pope in the Vatican, the Pope sits on a chair that is made of gold, right? That's just not Christian. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've just like the entire Catholic community of the world is completely offended. I apologize, but it's just not Christian to do that. And if you can't understand that, then you can't understand anything at all, right? I mean, that's just a very simple thing. Because you could take that gold and you could build schools or hospitals, or you could do a lot of good with that, right? Feed a lot of people, or you know, you could bring water to Africa, or there's a lot of good things that you could do with that, really. And this hierarchical papal system, it's really questionable whether it's been positive or negative for Christianity over the last 300, 400 years. This hierarchical system where somebody sits on the top, and you know, the papal system is just an extension of the Roman system, basically. The Roman system kind of integrated into the papal system, and the rich, powerful family structures all got involved, and it was a interesting way to control society. Now, within that, there were many fights because Christians had many enemies outside of the church as well as naturally inside of the church. And the fact that Christianity even survived is a miracle, is a miracle in itself. And so I don't think that, I mean, it's false idols, right? I mean, the teachings of the Bible are not to worship people, but to worship God. That's just a very simple teaching of the Bible, yeah? And the Pope is essentially an idol who stands between people and God, and that is a, you know, the hierarchical structure is not a Christian teaching. Yeah. It's not even in, even it's not even in the Old Testament. I mean, I'm going through the books of the Old Testament, and it's not, it's that it there's nothing there that really says that we should live in a hierarchical structure there. There's a lot of information about kings and fighting and wars and but they always tell the same thing, that you know, the king who conflicts with God, something bad always happens to them, right? So it's not good to challenge the greater authority. So And with this, with religion comes power. With power comes wealth, money, resources. What is in the Vatican archives? Maybe they saved a lot of things from history. Okay. But here's a great point. If you do good things, then if you're a big organization and you do good things, then it should be very easy for people to see and to know and to understand. But I just don't see it. I don't see it happening anywhere, right? The Vatican very much at the moment feeds into the World Council of Churches and the power structure, and that system is essentially teaching that all religions are the same. You can learn something from every religion, but they're not all the same. And so, it's people are treating the Pope as if the Pope were Jesus or something. And this is not the case. It's just not the case, right? It's just not the case. And also the Vatican itself is, there are a lot of fights within that power structure, and there's a lot of not nice things that they've been doing worldwide with children and so on. So it's very confusing. It's very confusing because it's power, but it's a strange kind of power, right? It's a strange kind of power because it doesn't. On one side, religion is decreasing within societies, and people are less focused and less interested on that aspect of life. Yet the church is still very powerful as a landowner in Europe, for example, and the church can usually affect things like politics and elections and political parties. Although I always find it really amusing that Slovakia was a Christian country and they have a Christian Democratic political party, but nobody really ever votes for the Christian party. I mean, it's a Christian country, but nobody votes for the Christian party. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Because then either your country's not Christian or your Christian party's not Christian. Then it doesn't.
How is it possible?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any. It doesn't make any sense at all, right? I mean, it's crazy. If you live in a town where everybody likes football and there's a football match, everybody will go to the football match, right? It's simple. It's just really simple. But
It's logical.
yeah, exactly. But the Christians don't even vote for their own party, which is just madness. It's part of the madness of society and the world that we live in right now. So, yeah, and yeah, and it's crazy because I've got sympathies for Christians. A lot of when Notre Dame Church burned, was on fire. That was a terrible disaster, right? I mean, it's a beautiful piece of artistic history that got destroyed. It's absolutely terrible.
I was there.
And it's also, I think I talked about this once before, that people took time building their churches. And I mean time, like 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 250 years, 300 years, 500 years. Look at the Sagrada Familia in Spain. How long have they been building that? I don't know, 300 years or something like that.
And
Yeah.
still is not finished.
It's still not finished. No,
Finished.
because they don't want to finish it, right? They just want to keep pulling the money and keep pulling the money and keep pulling the money and it's a
But Sagrada Familia is very nice.
yeah, the churches were fundamental centers of the communities and they served a great, they provided a service, right? They were functional, a purpose, and it was a place of security, safety, a place where you could meet people. If there was a conflict, it was a place where maybe you could go to resolve the conflict. So, yeah, they were nice, but that element of society just it just seems it's presented as old. It's old. It's like old-fashioned. It's outdated. But then, it's not. It's not outdated if you look at the what you can learn from it, and you can it's sort of you can learn what you want from it, right? Because it's such a huge, huge topic about the right ways and the wrong ways to live life. And I read something the other day. I'll share this with you. I shared this with another person today. I can share this with you as well. I think it's very interesting the things that we accept as normal, and we all do this. We accept things as normal. They're not. Yeah. And that really fascinates me. It fascinates me when we live an automatic lifestyle, but it might not be good to do that because we're missing something. Now, I will try to give you an example here. So, 2 Thessalonians 1. I think this is one of. Is that from the Old Testament or the New Testament? Wait a minute. Okay, this is Paul discussing things, so it's got to be the New Testament, right? Okay. I think I said it was the Old Testament this morning. Anyway, never mind. So this is from the New Te Lost it now. Lost it again. Keeps jumping around. Okay, here we go. So, got it again. Right, here's. So this is from. Just listen to this. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding not what they say and not what they affirm or believe. But we know that the law is good if man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Okay, now let me read that part again. The law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a good man. This is incredibly important. The law is not made for a good man. The law is made for the lawless and the disobedient. Laws are made for bad people, not good people. Now, if you apply the law equally to everybody, that is a mistake. It's a mistake because the law maybe does not apply to a good man. Because the law is not everything. And maybe a good man or a good woman has to break the law to do the right thing. That one line is a revelation, because that one line kills communism. That one line, the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is made for the lawless and the disobedient and the ungodly. It says here, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, manslayers, for whoremongers, for liars. It's, right? The law exists to control the bad elements of society, not the good elements of society. If you use the law to force good people to do things, it's wrong. And we don't think like we think like the law must apply equally to everybody. No.
No, not for her.
No, that's not how it should be. Because sometimes to be a good man or a good woman, you have to break the law. Therefore, the law does not apply equally. Because if you're a good person, you need the freedom to do whatever it is you need to do, whatever it is the right thing. And maybe the right thing is to go against the law, right? Maybe the right thing is to go against the law. And this idea is lost. This idea is lost where we think that each person brings the same value, but they don't. Each person brings a different,
Different.
unequal value to the table of life because we trade on the inequalities that we have. What you are better at, you can trade with and sell, whether it's a skill or knowledge or whatever, right? And this is not understood. This is not taught. It's taught that we all need to be equal. Like it's taught in schools, and this is completely wrong. It's taught in British schools to children that you have rights. Okay, you have rights. Who gives you the rights? Because who gives you it can take it away. If it's a person giving you the right, and you accept their authority and power to give you the right, then they can take it away. Because as you give, you can take. As you give, you can take. The power to tax is the power to destroy. Right? As you give, you can take. And people, they don't think like that anymore. You know, that old it's deep. It's a deep thought, right? It's not just it's not something you're going to hear on the news or read in a comic book or it's not something that's going to be a general part of conversation between people. It's a very, very important thought about the way we organize society. And
It
well, it's important because it's difficult. Because most people will not go there. Most people will not discuss it. Most people will not think about it, because because it's difficult, and it's difficult because it's important. Because not everybody will get it. And I'm not saying that there should be one rule for one group of people and one rule for another group of people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there has to be flexibility to understand that you can't paint everybody the same color. Yeah, if two people do the same thing, maybe it's for completely different reasons.
Different,
Yeah,
yeah.
maybe it's for completely different reasons why they do it. Yeah, maybe I go into the shop to buy some food for myself. Maybe you go into the shop to buy some food for somebody else, right? We both do the same activity, but we do it for different reasons.
Different,
Yeah, and so for that reason, we can't apply all laws equally to all people, because there's different weight and different value in those in life, right? If you've got, let me give you a crazy example. Here's just a crazy example, right? Let's say you've got let's say there's a town in the desert. And the only way to get into the town and out of the town is by airplane, right? And let's say there's only one pilot. If the pilot commits a crime, well, you put the pilot in jail, and then nobody can travel. And maybe the pilot should be in jail. Maybe it's a consequence nobody travels, but it's the consequence that people need to understand. Not everybody is going to bring the same value to anything that they do. They're going to bring skills and experience that's different. Yeah. Some football players get paid more than other football players because they're better. It's just they're better. That's it. Right. Some cars are more expensive than other cars because they're better, right? I mean, that's just that's just it. And so yeah, it's that that's I read that part of the Bible, and I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, that's true, right? That that's it's we don't make laws so that we can make life difficult for each other, right? We don't do that. Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. So it's just automatic, it's one of those automatic things. People just automatically think we must apply it equally to everybody. It's like, no, you can't. And once you understand that it can't be applied equally, then you start to think about values. And then you start to appreciate differences.
No.
And all these positive things come out of that. Right. Anyway, I just wanted to share that thought about the churches.